because what we say is, you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best-kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough!
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, 10 minutes in. And, you know, we'll do, we will continue, because I didn't get into the normal recapping mode, because I ran it to Jason and absolutely slapped the headset on him, right? The rest of that weekend, and we certainly on Saturday had to kind of withstand a really blustery. It was not gorgeous, but it's funny. Friday was the hottest day so far in the whatever it is, the week and a half that I've been down here, and then Saturday turned rough. And there was nobody really discussed it in terms of, I guess they're used to it, but you know, headwind. You know, typically, backstretch headwinds, historically, they inhibit front runners and help the off-the-pace horses. Probably should go through the charts and see if that was, you know, really much of a factor on Saturday. Quick rundown here before Heedley Bell joins us. And we mentioned General Jim over... I said Super Cinco, Super Chow, who, you know, it was interesting. General Jim opened up, right? Well, didn't General Jim open up as the favorite, like a short-priced favorite? And then by the time post-time rolled around, Super Chow had gotten down to 4-5, and General Jim was over 3-2. You got 5-20. And, you know, even with King Sparrow scratching, it still felt like General Jim, you know, was the horse that made the most sense, assuming there was going to be, you know, any spirited pace battle at all. And actually, the splits were not insane. 22-3, 45-1. And it kind of, from a visual standpoint, General Jim kind of seemingly dragged Luis Saez, you know, to the front, approaching the turn. He seemed to be, you know, on Super Chow a little bit early, earlier than you might have anticipated. And Chantel Sutherland, Super Chow's got this habit of getting out. And in fact, Mike Welch and I watched the race together, and you know, they were on the turn, and Mike was like, why is Louis on the outside of this horse? He has to know that this horse is going to get out. And Chantel actually, you know, he got out a little, but not like he has in recent starts. So anyway, General Jim corralled him and, you know, smoothly powered down the lane. And as you heard from Shug last week, he now is, you know, looking to, from the 7 furlongs, to stretch him back out And it's interesting. I don't know if he'll be interesting to see what he does. I speculated on Twitter the other morning, the other afternoon, that, you know, maybe, I don't know, the Gotham, maybe, you know, maybe he wants to go get back to the two turns right away. We'll see. Tappet Trice, as mentioned, as part of Todd's terrific day. Major Dude. Major Dude was good. I mean, certainly we were using Major Dude, but I was trying to get Candidate by. Candidate really ran fine for Arno Delacour and Mark Grier, had no answer for Major Dude. And in fact, both of Todd's turf winners, Major Dude and then, really impressively, Cairo Consort, she was terrific, winning the Swedish Champ. She was really good, and I wasn't happy with my own decision in terms of using or not using Cairo Consort. I mean, I wasn't aggressively trying, to quote unquote beat her, but I was nowhere. I really felt like a putz the way she won, really confidently handled by Irad, and I tell you, she is some gorgeous battleship gray filly. Looking forward to talking to Todd about her. Not that I was down on her by any means. I didn't think she had to win. That's all. I'll tell you who ran well in there was Todd's other horse as well, for Don Alberto, that Alpha Bella. Alpha Bella ran a nice race to be second in here. So Todd running 1-2 in the Swedish Chant sort of was a preface to Bill Mott running 1-2 in the Holy Bull. And hard to, you know, I watched the race in proximity to Dale and the Albaugh team, and obviously disappointed. One thing that seemed to me, I mean, he broke sharp, and Tyler kind of wrangled him back a little bit into the turn. I don't know. And frankly, you know, anybody that, I mean, West Coast Cowboy 60-1 was second early, and Legacy Isle, who's a gorgeous horse, by the way, that the Rowan Crichton horse, he was also, boy, he big, long-bodied, strapping thing. I was impressed with him physically. I don't know. Cyclone Mischief, I think in light of the forward position that, you know, was so successful in the allowance win, I don't know. I would have gone. I think you didn't you want to maybe go on with him? I don't know. We'll see what Dale's thoughts here are. Tyler Gaffalione said when he called on him, later on, and you could see it as they were approaching the end of the backstretch, that he just, you know, he wasn't responsive. But he could also be a horse. Is it possible that, he gets a little sulky? Case could also be made that, who knows, right now, that maybe he's alternating performances. We'll see. I felt bad. I was, when you go out 6-5 and anticipated. But in the meantime, for Rocket Can, nice performance. Basically pairs up to his allowance win at the end of last year. So a good way to start the three-year-old campaign, and the Bill Mott barn just can do no wrong right now down here. So there was some of the Gulfstream action, and we talked about as well about the Sunday Charge It. I'll get to when we talk to John White, we will look at Santa Anita, hour three, and talk about a lot of good. There were a lot of good and interesting performances not the least of which were the Baffert Lewis runners. And I would say this, I mean, Newgate did what he was supposed to do. Arabian Lion is becoming a problem. Hard to figure, took a nice step forward and was game. The horse, though, that I wouldn't lose sight of is Worcester, the Empire Maker. He took another step forward, still a maiden, but first time around two turns, and he was bottled up for a good portion of the race. And I that's a horse that's going to make a noise somewhere along the way here. Very soon. We got to get to, I want to get Jeff Mullins on, who's won some races, and I missed the boat on Quatrell. That was, I needed, I singled Baystorm in the Coast to Coast, who ran well and held on for second. But Quatrell, Hector Berrios, a really good ride to win the Megahertz. Steve Knapp, by the way, and when we'll talk to John, Steve Knapp unveiled a Stay Thirsty for Terry Lovinger. Did you see that bus buzz? You better, to quote, who is it? Who says, you better take a look. Is that Vic? Vic Stoffer say that? You better take a look at bus buzz because that was an impressive performance, a 92 buyer. I went and looked. And then in those late stakes, I do want to mention Fun to Dream. I mean, she was very good and professional at 1-2 for Baffert, who had a big weekend. But later on today, I'll put out a tweet explaining what I liked about Du Jour and did very well in that nightcap Saturday. That was the best idea of the day. Keyed off of Earl's Rock, who prevails. But the key to that race was Du Jour at 15-1. And I will put up the Thoroughgraph cut. I will bring up the same topic that I have repeatedly. Du Jour missed his entire 4-year-old season. So now he comes back as a mature 5-year-old. You can't look at PPs from a year and a half ago and see a horse, you know, that had run some decent, you know, 89 buyer winning the American Turf, 90 buyer in the Saratoga Derby, you know, just okay. It kind of tailed off at the end of the year in the Mathis and then was gone this whole time, over a calendar year. Comes back as a 5-year-old. That's a different horse. It's a different horse, and when using, let's say, Thoroughgraph, which is what I'm talking about specifically here, you can easily see, and Jerry, in fact, I talked to Jerry yesterday, I told him about this, the Thoroughgraph Index for Sire Temple City, as 3-year-olds, the average, and this is with 563 horses that have made 3,200 starts. The average, they run about a 16. And 5-year-olds, 4-year-olds run a 13.75, and 5-year-olds an 11.5. So you can anticipate basically 4.5 points on the Thoroughgraph scale of improvement from a 3-year-old to a 5-year-old. So when you look at Du Jour's races, basically he's been running sixes and sevens through the end of his 3-year-old year. Well, he now might be capable of running threes and fours, which puts him right squarely into the picture with Earl's Rock and, you know, any of the favorites like Air Force Red. So that's how you take a 15-1 shot and you project that they can be competitive. And let me tell you, if it wasn't for Earl's Rock and Pratt, I mean, really extending themselves at the wire to win. I mean, Du Jour, I mean, I thought Du Jour might have won. Then in the replay, I could see that Earl's Rock had gotten the nose down. But It's not a question of redboarding, but the selections are right there. For the Tri paid $460 for $2. This was, you know, this is the anatomy, frankly, if you're for ThirdGraph users, this is the anatomy, you know, of a success, of a score. I was going to riff on that at some point, so I just did, and I will put up the screen capture so you can see it as well. Because we're going to get busy in hour three, so let me reach for Heedley, because I want him to Rusty was happy. Rusty was certainly happy about the win on Saturday, the other person that was smiling broadly as they walked down the stairs toward the winner's circle at Gulfstream was Heedley Bell, and Oscar Performance has got himself a dirt graded stake winner. Heedley, congratulations.
Well, you know, that's not supposed to happen, is it, Steve?
Well, not according to Rusty. Rusty wasn't even going to start her on the dirt.
Well, there you go. You know, things happen, and that's the horse business, and we're enjoying the ride.
We've talked about him off air, and Sid, we've touched on him with Sid Fernando, and I'm sure Sid will discuss him again on Wednesday, but explain what this means, Heedley, for an Oscar Performance, and with an effort that comes literally as people, I mean, a lot of people are booked, but there's people that will be making, you know, second half of breeding season decisions. What does it mean for Oscar Performance?
Well, you know, we're fortunate that he had made a terrific start even before Red Carpet Ready got into this mode. In the syndicate, we limit the horse to 150 mares. So, you know, he's essentially full. So it doesn't really add so much on that side. But more importantly is, and the dirt's great as well, but more importantly, it just the fact that these quality runners that he's getting, you know, dirt is just a part of that. But bottom line is he's been really doing very, very well. And this is just kind of like, it's not icing on the cake because we still have a ways to go, certainly. But it certainly is a beautiful thing for all of us, including our shareholders that are involved in Oscar Performance and the Ammermans, certainly, who raced him and such. So it doesn't happen, Steve, as you know, we are in the horse business. But when it does, it really makes all those other days, it lets you get through them.
In terms of standing him, I mean, talk about the kinds of you know, decision making and the process of bringing him in to stand.
Yeah. So again, longtime clients, longtime friends, Jerry and John Ammerman, just great people, have had their mares with us and such, and so we've worked with them for a long time. I assist them with their matings. I assist them with that side of it, and certainly Mill Ridge Farm and raising the horses and things. And so we hadn't had a stallion for a while because really we hadn't found the right horse particularly and such, and we're a boutique operation. And this horse, trained by Brian Lynch, yeah, whom, you know, he ends up winning the Breeders' Cup at two. He's a proper horse to begin with. Wins another grade one at three and two grade ones at four equals a world record. He's a proper horse to win a grade ones at two, three, and four, without question. He's a beautiful horse. He's beautifully bred. So now you just have the turf angle to consider. We'd never been bothered by that. We've never really been. We believe in taking the horse and what it stands for and not worrying about the market, you know, and we believed in this horse. We managed to syndicate half the horse at the time to fantastic clients and shareholders that supported the horse throughout. And so we're bucking the trend, but we considered it opportunity at the time because the reality is that all the turf stallions were aged, the Kitten's Joys, the More Than Readies. All these horses were, it was going to be opportunity if we got lucky, you know, and it's propping up as if, you know, he might be up right now in his first crop. He was the leading sire of two-year-olds on the turf of all sires, not just freshman sires. So, and the only reason is I'm sure Rusty told you that he, you know, this filly ran on the dirt was because Churchill Downs was closed, you know.
And, right.
And that's the way it was for, you know, the other Oscar performances. And there have been a number of them that have run on the dirt, really. So, anyway, it's we're enjoying the ride. It really is a real, it's really been very, very nice. And you're nice to call and allow me to share about it.
I thought it was a natural extension of the visit with Rusty. And in fact, you know, last week the Bob Bork, right? The Texas, the Texas Mile winner.
Yes. And the winner is.
And the winner is. And I'm I just went to the Stallion page at, the Blood Horse listings, and it is amazing. And the winner is out of a Scat Daddy mare, that G. Laurie out of an Arch mare, Red Carpet Ready, though, you know, Street Sense, mare, and we looked at that family in the discussion with Rusty. There's speed and it feels like there's going to be, you know, stamina. So moving forward, there's a lot to be excited about.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. Well, he's a horse that again wins the Breeders' Cup from the 13 hole as a 2-year-old,
yeah,
a mile and a 16th. But he also wins a grade one at a mile and a quarter, you know. So you believe that he's not, you know, he's a two-turn sire and such. And even though there is speed in that family. But, yeah, so, and even with And the Winner Is, you know, Wayne Catalano has him. And he was, quote, going to be his derby horse. He ran him in two races on the dirt. He flattened down in the most recent, which kind of put him away from that dream. But, these horses have trained well. Brian Lynch will tell you that Oscar Performance, I would have run him on the dirt had he not been doing so well on the turf, you know. And I was just with, I'm here in Ocala right now, and I was with Mike Ryan earlier this morning, and he's a shareholder. And the first time he looked at Oscar Performance, he goes, as Mike can only do, he says, you know what, Heedling? He said, this horse with as straight a hind leg as he had, I wouldn't be surprised if they run on the dirt. I said, get the hell out of here. Anyway, it's, you know, it's, again, these moments, you have to fully just give thanks.
Well, we'll discuss, I'll get some more pedigree conversation in, I'm sure, with Sid.
Good.
Out of Divine Actress and who was, of course, by Theatrical.
Yes.
Looking at the rankings, what a start. He's had 13 runners so far this year, 4 wins and 2 stake wins, 1 graded.
Wow. Yeah, well, it was a big week. You know, he, again, the turf hadn't really been available to him and things of that nature. So I'd like to believe there's some other horses that are hanging around. We were fortunate with him, and it's always, again, you're pushing the rock up the hill. But we had 125 mares the first year, like 120 his second year, 85 his third, and 65 in his fourth, which gives him every chance to if he's going to do, he's going to do, and he won't fall in a complete hole if he, in his few years after, because he'll have enough representation to keep him, you know, going. And that's the game you play, is you've got to get mares under these horses and see if they'll do. I'm actually out here with Pat Hopple and his son Jesse right now at Ocala, and we were just talking about B Jersey, you know, and Jesse's got like 6 B Jerseys to sell. And I said, good on you, babe, because you know what? B Jersey's making himself a sire.
Yeah.
So there you go, Sid Fernando.
Exactly right. I should, you know, and while we're doing a little Mill Ridge, Aloha West, right? How's that coming along?
Well, it's really terrific. I was just I was working on an ad about him, and I'd spoken to Ben Glass last Thursday because they raced the horse initially. Baffert had him initially,
right,
for Mr. West, and Bob loved the horse. He said, "Man, this is my fastest 2-year-old," and he was ready to run, and he bucks his shins. And then, so he puts him away, brings him back at 3, ready to run, and he ends up getting a condyle fracture in his left front. And so that's enough. You know, Mr. West says, bring him back, and that's enough for him. You know, he's seen enough, and sends him to Wayne and ends up selling him to Eclipse, you know. But Ben Glass said, look, this horse had done everything as a two-year-old. We were dreaming big. The public doesn't see that. You know, right now all they see is he ended up running 11 races as a four-year-old. He wins 5 of them, culminating with the Breeders' Cup Sprint. And so our promotion is going to be about, you know what? You never know where a horse comes from. Listen to these 10,000 horses that hovered around $10,000. Northern Dancer, Mr. Prospector, Stormcat, Tappet, Warfront, Into Mischief, Munnings, and it goes on and on. You never know. These are horses that stood. So that's the picture we're gonna play. We've syndicated half the horse, the same as Oscar Performance. It stands for $10,000, and you never know.
Well, son of Hardspun out of the Spitestown mare, Island Bound, herself out of Indie Mood for Love by AP Indie. There's a lot to like about
West. And to interrupt you, I was just telling Jess about this, Jesse Hoppel. This horse is a 16-hand, beautifully balanced, fast horse. He is not a Hardspun to look at. You know, everybody thinks, you know, that you look and you see the sire and that's what they are. But there's more to packages, and you got to see what that package is. He's influenced by his dam side. The speed of his dam side is a 6-furlong mare, AP Indy mare. He's being influenced by his dam side. Spitestown in there. And that's what we believe. Just, you know, telling the public, that's what we believe, is that he's more on the dam side and the female side of him.
You know, I'm looking at the confirmation photo, too, and he's kind of intermediate-bodied, right? I mean, he's not...
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. No, he's beautifully balanced. He's a sprinter type. He's 16 hands, beautifully balanced, quality horse. And that's what Ben Glass said. He said, man, I love that horse. They bought him as a yearling. Bought him from John Mayer, a Bob Manfuso bred. Ah. And he said, I love that horse. I was sick that we didn't own him, you know, when it came time to run. But Mr. West has this policy. He said, you know, if they injured himself and things like that, I've got too many horses, I just have to move on. And you know what else Ben said? He said he was the first to congratulate Aaron Wellman after he won the Breeders' Cup. That's what kind of man he is. So there you go.
Well, not a bad pair. Oscar Performance for
thank you
for long on the dirt and the turf, and Aloha West anticipating some quick babies down the road.
We're a niche farm. You know, we're not trying to be anybody more than we are, but we try to identify and get lucky. You know, that's really what we're trying to do. And our son Price runs it, and it's a joy and it's a gift. It really is, Steve. And you've been there, and it's terrific.
Now, one of the great farms, one of the great families.
Thank you.
That can lead people into the game and toward
thank you.
Their goals. Healy, great to see you Saturday, and
yes, thank you.
And the previous Saturday, and we'll catch up.
We look forward to seeing you in April, Steve. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Healy Bell, everybody, and had to kind of get a little bit more of the, you know, of the story behind Oscar Performance. It's you know, we talked so often during his career with Brian Lynch, so. Kind of fun to hear that side, that's a nice balance. If you're going to stand two stallions, to have those two, and of course Oscar Performance. You know, one thing that makes sense about him and the timing is, you know, Kitten's Joy leaving the stage, and the Oscar Performance has got a kind of a similar. Doesn't he have the similar benefit that these all these Scat Daddy sons are having? I mean, that, you know, Scat Daddy leaving a little, not that Kitten's Joy you know, left prematurely. But, you know, the opportunity to go to the sons of those types. Whoops, that's the wrong thing. Let's go back. We're going to get Richie on here. We're a little late, 5 minutes late to Rich. But I guess I'm going to guess Rich was doing some farm chores. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I am actually. I worked yesterday, so I was down, and you know, it's just funny when you get out of your routine because I haven't been working a lot, trying to juggle everything and be organized. But I'm almost done. I have like another 20 minutes in the barn, I'll be done. Time for lunch, then go off and do some errands, leisurely.
Well, Ed, when you weren't, you know, given that you had the light schedule here the early part of the year in terms of going downstate, you know, you get into a habit of waking up in your own bed, probably, you know, that like that, and then all of a sudden you got to go down and you work a couple days and or stay over and. You know, now your routine is in a, you know, you got to get back into the swing.
Yeah, exactly. But I was laughing this morning. I come out to the barn. We've had these muck buckets since we moved up here to the farm 13 years ago, right? I told Carmella, because the handles, the nylon straps had broken. I said, just toss them and, you know, either pick up some more or order them. They come, and my wife's hysterical. She went and bought nylon and made new handles and fixed the old muck buckets. I'm like, it's too much.
Hey, speaking of Mel, we had fun the other day. You tweeted that picture and do a little bit of a showboating with the four fingers up. It's a good thing that wasn't your 6,000th win. You'd have had to take both hands off the reins.
Yeah, and I'm not a fan of that. When those guys do that, they do like that flying pose and off the hands off the reins. I don't like it for the horses, but that's how easy Benjamin Baby was winning. And it's really odd. Like in California, you can hear the announcers because they have speakers in the infield because the infield's open, right? In New York, you can't really hear the announcer unless the wind and everything is just right, and then you'll hear the announcer. Like I could, less than five times in my whole career, all the races I rode in New York, I ever heard the announcer. And that was one of the days where I could just hear it very clearly. And Benjamin Baby in front by five. So I go, oh, I got time to think about this. And I kind of waited until we got to where the black and white, you know, to signify where the wire is. And I said, I'm going to do this. And I put up the four fingers. I did get grief, though. Mel is not a big fan of that at all. She doesn't like it a little bit. But made a good picture.
It did. And I thought about the scene in Luck. Where, right, isn't that the, when Kerry, Conlon, when she wins on Getting Up Morning, and she goes past the wire and she puts her hand up and Nick Nolte, it's probably the best scene. It may be the best minute and a half, 3 minutes of Luck, when everybody witnesses that performance, including the degenerates.
Well, Nick Nolte was upset about it, right?
He's like, hands on the wheel, girl.
Yeah,
that's what he. So that's why I wrote hands on the wheel, Jack.
It's so funny. But, you know, it's amazing how time flies. I mean, that was 18 years ago. I mean, I haven't ridden in 13 years. I mean, it's just really phenomenal how fast time goes. And, you know, and it's funny. I talk to people all the time. Like, you miss it? I guess I'll always miss it. Like, obviously, intellectually, you know, listen, it's long over and it was great. And you know, I rode for 29 years. If you factor in all the months I lost from injury, I missed almost 3 years of my career because of injury. So, like, basically 26 years. I was talking with Eddie Maple, and, like, when he had retired, and I got hurt. I was 44, 45. I was done. And, I marvel at these guys that are still doing it into their 50s and doing it at such a high level. I think of a Johnny Velasquez, Mike Smith, Frankie Dettori. The fact that they, can still do it and their bodies are still cooperating, I mean, it's really incredible.
Yeah, it's one of the things we marvel at, and it's a big part of, how we, there's so many things to admire about what goes into the care and maintenance of the racehorse, and then, the execution out on the oval.
Yeah, I love talking about, my time when I was an apprentice under contract to Steve DeMauro, because it was just such a wonderful time to be on the track, and the people that, you forged relationships with and learned from. And, I was thinking, so Mott won the Holy Bully, ran 1-2, right? And the feeling in a barn when you've got, a good colt, right? And then they perform that way, and now you're on the Derby trail. And all the excitement that goes into it, for me as a kid, getting down to Hialeah winter quarters for the, December 1st and being excited. We had a Damascus colt for Fred Sahadi, Janine Sahadi's dad, Cardiff stud, named Karistan. Well, when he was a two-year-old, we nicknamed him Churchill because we were all going to Churchill Downs, right? And he got down to Hialeah. He won by 15 lengths. He broke his maiden by 15 lengths. And he came back and he won by a neck, and we were disappointed in a other than. Well, Prince Valiant, the Green Tree colt who wound up winning the Louisiana Derby, ran big in the Kentucky Derby, was the horse that he beat that day. And again, it just reminds me of that feeling when you're in a barn and, oh man, the 2-year-olds came in and, who's going to be the one? And everybody gets so excited. And listening just now, because I was on my way back from town, Heedley, talking about a proper horse. I love that term. I love when people call a horse a proper horse. It brings back that feeling of everything good about the game that you fell in love with.
Well, that, who I always hear use that is Clancy, Wee Sean. Clancy uses proper horse.
Yeah, him all the times I was riding for him, Kieran McLaughlin, who actually trained Benjamin Baby, come to the barn, get on a horse before you get on the horse. If he said, this is a proper horse, you knew you were getting on something really, really good. So I just love when I hear that term. I was listening on my drive back up the road here, and I love what he was saying, proper horse. And again, it evokes all that excitement and emotion and everything that basically hooked me on the game. I'm a complete and utter addict for horses and racing. So,
well, on the racing front, of course, no New York Friday and Saturday, but racing resumed yesterday. Able to get the Ruthless in, and that Interpolate took a nice next step for Chad with Eric Cancel. What else over the weekend were you able to take in?
It's funny. I when I'm not working every day, I don't watch as close. Like, I familiarize myself when I'm getting back in the swing of things. I thought that I liked Charget's effort yesterday. I thought that was really, and it's exciting to think about, if he stays healthy, he could be the leader of that division before it's all said and done. I mean, he's really good. What else? No, just a lot of good racing. And Naira made a good call, pulling the plug early so that, people could plan and not, because there was no way they were going to race. I mean, it was Saturday morning. I came out to the barn. It was 11 below zero, the actual real temperature. And it was windy, too. I mean, it was, and I'm always very focused. When I get in the barn, I've got to get everything done before I stop. And I kept having to take breaks, go in my office and warm up for 10, 15 minutes, come out and do something. I mean, it was just brutal. Ugh. You know, the Ruthless was good. Yeah, just in general. I mean, I liked the Holy Bull. I thought that those are two horses that could be developing and changing at the right, you know, kind of proper time. And that's what we look for this time of year, the steps they're taking physically, mentally, the maturity factor. And, you know, and on that note, like, I don't want this to really get lost in the shuffle. How about Junior Alvarado? And, you know, wins the Breeders' Cup with Cody's Wish, wins the Pegasus for Bill Mott with Art Collector, rides this nice colt from here in the Holy Bull. And there's a guy who paid his dues. I mean, like, you know, he was plagued with injuries, kept having a struggle, really didn't have that big outfit. But the trust and the communication that's evident with him and Bill Mott, and the confidence it gives a rider that, you know, a guy of his stature, and he's become his go-to guy. I've gotten a real kick out of seeing that. Like, he worked hard for it and very deserving. And trainers will always get the best out of riders when they give that confidence to them. When they, like, hey, you know, this is what we'd like to do, but if things change, don't you're not handcuffed. You know, we're on the same team. We know how we want to do this. You're going to get the best out of riders when you allow them to have that confidence to do their job.
Well, and, you know, he also, you know, he had a few moments of difficulty. There was that incident, with the, Was it with FNX, the horse of Jimmy, Jimmy Jerkins? But he's won. In fact, now I'm curious. There's certain kinds of horses, and particularly, I know that in fact, Doug Salvatore, a couple of years ago, Doug unearthed a statistic that Junior had a positive ROI in two turn dirt races, which was, I'm pretty sure that is the stat, and I don't know if it's still true, but he particularly good at under that scenario, route of ground.
Well, you know, I think that would make sense too, though. Look at the way he rides, the way he'll get a horse to run up into his hands, and, you know, with that longer hold early, and he's physically very strong, reminiscent to me of Ruben Hernandez, who I will say unequivocally was the strongest finisher I ever rode against. I mean, Lafitte and Ruben, not much could separate the way they could finish on a horse. And, you know, Junior's built like Ruben was and very physically strong. You know, listen, I watch riders and I understand when they go through struggles. And, you know, he had a couple of injuries right in a row that probably wasn't 100% physically. And then that plagues on you mentally because, you know, it's like this deep-seated in the back of your mind, like, I don't want to hurt like this, and I don't want that to happen again. And it affects you. You don't ride as aggressively as well. And I noticed that he went through a period when he was just struggling. You could just see he wasn't all there, you know. And again, it's a part and parcel. I went through it. I know it's, and, you know, people like, oh, guy lost his heart. I don't know. Maybe he's got to work through something. Losing their heart is a whole different thing. And then you saw him start to come out of it. He went to Florida, spent time in Florida before Saratoga last year. He stayed down there. And you can see his confidence come back. And if you read through the history of horse racing, Eddie Arcaro came back from that one-year suspension he got.
Yeah.
And he just wasn't riding the same. His timing wasn't there. His confidence wasn't there. They sent him to Maryland, Greentree. He was under contract. They sent him to Maryland. to ride in Maryland for a month or two, and he found his game again. His confidence came back. His timing came back. So, you know, no way through it like Junior has, and you know, ride the way he's riding now and getting the opportunities, getting, making the most of them. Those are the guys that I admire. No rider is immune to that. And anybody who tells you that, you know, they're not affected by a spill or injuries, or they're lying to you. That's nonsense. It's, what do they say? What is courage is not the absence of fear. It's being able to do what you need to do despite the fear.
Well, and he and Florent Giroux, and who was the third? You've had three riders in the last 2 weeks, each hit 2,000 wins.
Yeah, nice milestones. You know, it's funny, we were laughing about this, and I went back and looked, and I found what horse it was, and it actually was for Bruce Levine, and I can't, now his name's escaping me. They never really made a deal out of your first 1,000 wins, your first 2,000 wins.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, I went right by my 2,000th win. I couldn't told you until I went back and looked the other day. I figured it out. 3,000 was when they started really making a big deal out of it. And then, you know, those are cool milestones. But I'm glad that they do that. I mean, they should make a big deal out of it. It's a lot. I don't know. I might have told you when I was a kid at Lakeview Farm, Bill George's place out on the Eastern Long Island, a jockey came from Suffolk Downs to work some horses there. I think Howie Iffinger or Mickey Wax brought him there. And it was such a, like, big deal that this guy was out at the training center to work horses, and he had won 300 races in his career up to that point. I honestly don't remember his name or what he went on to do, but, and I remember, like, you know, we lived above the barn for the summer. We were, you know, had bedrooms up there, and I was like, man, could you imagine ever, like, even riding 300 races, let alone win 300 races? So, like, it, as small a number as it sounds now, it's a big deal, especially when you first start, you know, getting that first experience, getting that first win, getting that taste of it. And, so I'm glad that they mark these milestones more carefully now than they used to.
Well, and I said Giroux, it was Gaffleone. It was Tyler Gaffleone that won the 2000, as did Edgar Zayas. There were like three within. Zayas actually, I think, was late last year. So maybe it. Hold on, I got to look at Giroux now, because I know that there was.
No, he did. He did ride right? 2000 recently.
That's what
yes,
I thought.
Yeah.
And so you've had four. So that would basically 3,000 is sort of the line of demarcation for the top 200. When you hit 3,000 wins, that you're in the top 200 all time. That number, but then there's, you know, you and Tony in the 4,500 to 5,000 range, you know, in the top 50, you get some rarefied air.
Well, you know, it's so funny because, I mean, I really wanted to get to 5,000, and it just, listen, it wasn't meant to be. My body wasn't going to make it. The things I regret, I've rode 298 wins in 1981, and I was going to Florida to ride at Gulfstream. It was open in January 3rd. I was kind of beat up. I rode, I don't know, 1,800 races that year, rode Meadowlands night and day, and I took off the last couple of days of 81 to just kind of get a little fresher and not feel as tired and run down, and I certainly would have won over 300 races, and that bothers me to this day that I just didn't gut it out and ride the last couple of days and get over 300 wins. Hmm. And that's what bugs me. Not, that was a great year, rode 298, won the Eclipse Award. Ah, dummy, you could have rode 300 wins.
That's typical, right? You've discussed that before. I mean, you win four races and you're mad you didn't win a fifth.
Yeah, get beat on nose on one, and that's the one that consumes you.
Exactly.
But I guess that's part of what makes people successful and succeed, that they, you know, they're not going to dwell on their success. They're going to figure out how to get better and continue to improve. And Much like my cooking game lately.
Ooh, listen to you. Certainly anybody that's following is I like the grill marks on that filet the other day. Speaking of multiple day wins, how about Rob Attriss yesterday?
Yeah, that was big.
Four for four.
Rob's horses always look good. When you go to the paddock, you can pick a Rob Attriss horse out. I mean, his horses are always well turned out. I'm sure he's just got a terrific feed program too. But they look the part, and they obviously run to it too. He had a lot of tough beats.
Yep.
Like if you look at it,
yep.
His horses were running good, but they weren't finishing the deal. And so it's not a surprise that it all came together on one day where, you know, he went 4 for 4 and was a hardworking guy. I actually enjoy talking horses with him. He's got an interesting outlook on things, and I enjoy that aspect of, you know, like visiting with people and getting, you know, they open your mind to looking at things differently. That was one of the joys of always going to hang out with Alan Jerk. You come away with something that you had thought completely opposite about, but wow, that makes sense. And it was right there and I never saw it, you know. That's the good stuff.
You know what's funny? Because there were two statistics that sort of bubbled to the surface, and over the weekend, Rob Attriss and I forget who it was that brought it up going into the weekend, when it came to the horse that he was running. Was it in the Swale? Where was he running his horse the other right?
You lost me.
I know. Hold on. It was what was the spot that we were discussing? Actually, I take that back. It wasn't Rob. It was Ray Handel. And Ray is on this extended winless streak at Gulfstream. And so as we were talking about this, it just so happened that Todd had Balsara in that Swedish Chant. And we were talking this, and he showed me something that I had not caught my eye. And I'm not sure how recent this is. It's got to be fairly recent because he had the PPs. The Asmussen barn was 0 for its last 50 or 0 for 50 over the last 18 months on synthetic.
Wow.
I mean, by accident, you would think that they would stumble in. It's the craziest thing. I've meant to go through into Formulator and look at it. And Todd said, do you believe? He said, how's this even possible?
You wouldn't think that would be possible, right?
Not that they're operating, you know, in places, you know, it's not like they've got a string at Woodbine. Although they're, I think he did have, I think actually they did send, they might have sent a few up, not this past year, but maybe the year before. But anyway, it's just been, you know, there's some aberrations and. With Rob Attriss, you know, he said that he had been tons of seconds and thirds. He had a great quote to Dave Grenig, which was, "You can't complain about it because then if you start complaining, you'll start finishing fourth and fifth."
Exactly. Yeah, you know, I remember one day we ran second on a horse for Alan Jerkins. And I was like, well, you know, Chief, we still got the condition. He got so mad.
What are you doing?
How the hell do you know she's going to be okay in 2 weeks for the next one?
That's great. Boy, you found ways to annoy Chief like nobody, huh?
You know, he was emotional.
Emotional? He's one of the great bucket throwers of all time.
Well, the first time I ever saw that, they had imported a horse. He bought a horse for Jack Dreyfus, Hobo Farm, that was running on the turf at Gulfstream. They brought him here from Europe. I might not have all the details 100% correct. It was a long time ago, but we ran a horse named Morning Frolic, and Morning Frolic won, and he had touted himself. He was by Graydon, he used to do this thing. He'd walk with his head bowed, and he'd grunt and hit his chin to his chest and then rear straight up like Roy Rogers and Trigger, right? Like he did it so controlled. And when he would do that, you knew he was on his game. And Morning Frolic beat Allen's horse, and it gave Steve DeMauro the training title at Hialeah for the winter. It came down to that. We beat them one winter. We were tied going into that race. It was our last runner for the meet. And we beat their horse. Morning Frolic paid $40. I remember I cashed a good bet. I used to make $91 a week, and I had saved money to bet the horse. And we were coming back from the test barn, going past Allen's barn, and we were so excited, leading stable. You know, we all bet. And Allen was throwing buckets and firing everybody and screaming and yelling. I had never seen it before. Like, my experience with Allen at that point was playing football up by the chute at Hialeah. And I was like, whoa, what's that? And the other grooms were laughing. Oh, that's just Chief. Don't worry about it. Like, and everybody he fired was back there the next morning working. So,
exactly. So that, you know what? That would be a fun group conversation. We'll do that in Saratoga. Right with you.
I'm sure we got to wrap up, but yeah. Real quick, I'm in my office in the barn, and we hung some pictures, and I have a plaque up. The first time I ever won five races in a day. Now here are the trainers: Jimmy Picou, Frank Tuffarello, Bob DeBonis. Here's Sight with Swale's sister, Claiborne Farm, Mickey Prager, and Prismatical for Louis Barrera. And Prismatical went on to win the Alabama that year.
Wow. Wow. Who was the second one?
Frank Tuffarello. He was an old school guy that was around here, like into like the mid to late 80s. Yeah, look at this. Marsha Schott, who owned Willow Hour, Golden Prospects, Muscovy, Fritz Tuffarello, Quack Quack, DeBonis, Sight, and Prismatical. Man, I got to ride some pretty good horses as a kid.
You think so? I would say. Between you and Tony, we love it. Richie, thanks so much. And we will talk to you. Let me think. Where am I? Let's see. Monday, I'm losing track. Monday, I'll be home, actually, for a couple of days. All right?
Okay, keep in touch with me because there's a chance I'm going to go to Virginia, like, next Sunday through Wednesday. And if I'm down there, I'm going to go visit Dennis and Julia Brida.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, at their farm, they get no cell service whatsoever. So just stay in touch with me. I'll let you know if I'm going.
You got it. Rich Migliori, everybody.
Hi.
Thanks, Meg. There you go. And MIG 4450 in terms of numerical count. John White's going to join us next, but we also are going to get a visit in with Doc and the team that is on hand for another session for Groom Elite. I'm going to avail ourselves of Doc being here and the staffers that backstretch employees that are going to graduate and move from hot walking to grooming. And this is a service that Doc McClellan has provided. I mean, for as long as I'm doing the show, we've had conversations occasionally and a rare opportunity to have him in person. So John White joining us next, Doc and more. Hour 3 at the races. SiriusXM, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer.